This is going to date me a little bit. But I recall the account of Reginald Denny, who was beaten up in the midst of the Rodney King riots in Los Angeles. He forgave those who attacked him, and after he went public and said, "I want to forgive everyone who harmed me in the midst of these riots," the newscaster said he had suffered from brain damage. Forgiveness is not a popular thing today. I'm not sure how you've been tracking this topic. I remember when I was young, forgiveness seemed to be something that was important. When a public person, when a leader admitted that they had done wrong and sought forgiveness, the country, the community seemed to be benevolent and said, since you were honest, since you came forward and said and admitted you're wrong and asked for forgiveness, we're going to give you forgiveness. We're going to let you have a fresh start. It seems to me that in the last 15, 10 years, that doesn't happen anymore. In fact, we've got the opposite going on, especially when political discourse is heated up to the temperature that it is today, that all we're doing is digging up dirt on each other, and there is no forgiveness that we offer anybody. None of our political enemies are allowed to have made any error in the past that we should forgive today. And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you are on, both are playing this dirty scheme. Both are not letting other people forgive or forget anything they might have done in the past, but are only bringing it up to try to smear their reputation and eliminate any power they have for the future. Forgiveness is something we need help with. I talked when we introduced the Lord's Prayer about how these prayer petitions can be summarized, and I think this is a question and answer 116, summarized by the terms, thank you, God, and help us, God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing your kingdom, for infiltrating our world and for making your name glorious. May we keep doing that. May we be participants in that as a petition. But also help us. Give us this day our daily bread. Many people see that as something that they struggle with each and every day. Those who are poor, those who are really tangibly praying to God for daily sustenance. We tend to not experience that. We have refrigerators that have a few days worth of food in it. We are confident we're going to have an income revenue that's going to let us go to the grocery store and purchase food for ourselves. And we need to be reminded all of this is from God. All of this, we do depend on God for providing it. But it's just not the visceral need that we experience as other people do. I have a sense, though, forgiveness might be different. It really doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what social class that you've achieved. Everybody struggles with forgiveness. Everybody needs God's help for forgiveness, perhaps especially if you're well off and you think that you don't owe anybody and nobody owes you. Forgiveness is something we need help with. So we want to talk this evening a little bit about, first of all, the way we are forgiven by God, and then the second of all, the way we are forgiving towards others, because that is the movement that both of these passages present to us. It's not so much that we can think of this as simply a tit for tat. If we do the forgiving on our part, then God has to do the forgiving on his part. It doesn't work that way. It actually starts with an experience of being forgiven ourselves and then moves to an ability to forgive others. So I want to start really by thinking about how we are forgiven. And this is where Matthew 18 really brings home this reality. I really like the way that the NIV updated the translation of this parable in the 2011 translation. It's not a very major update, but it just gives you a hint of what the differences of currency are in this parable. So let me read once again verses 23 and 24 and 25. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged. "I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Now, here's the irony in this parable. This servant was absolutely clueless. What he said was kind of a lie. "Be patient with me. I'll repay 10,000 bags of gold." Really? That's you're going to pull that off? You're going to beg your master to let you keep working at the pace that you're working, and somehow you're going to make up for this? You see, the point of Jesus' parable here is that there is no repaying this debt. This master is in so over his head that the only hope that he has of not spending the rest of his life behind bars is that the servant will have a master that is merciful, that would forgive this, that would wipe it clean and give him a fresh start. And Jesus is essentially saying, this is the kind of debt we owe to God. I mean, some people think that if I'm good, you know, if I'm good on Monday, I get a little bit of credit to my bank account, and then I sin on Tuesday, and then I lose some of it. That's not how this works at all. You see, the Lord calls us to be faithful, to be honest, to be true, to follow Him, to keep all of His commands. This is how He made us to live, and He's given us His instructions. And we never pay any of these debts off. When we sin, we violate His commands. We incur God's wrath. We have a just punishment coming to us. We ought to pay back what we owe Him. And our sins keep accumulating. They never go down. They never go in the black. They just keep going more and more in the red all the time. And the older you are, the more red you have, most likely. And some of us have sinned in grave ways that are enormous and painful and have inflicted lots of harm on other people. And some of us have sinned in other ways that we're just kind of passive-aggressive. We're not quite honest. We say, yeah, things are good between us, then we gossip. We're dishonest, perhaps, with some of our finances. And maybe this was 10 years ago. But 10 years of obedient living doesn't, like, pay off the years of disobedient living. We just incur debt, and this is really where we find ourselves. If we want to be clean, if we want to be holy, if we want to be free from all of our sins before God, there's nothing else we can do but say, "Forgive us our debts." We can't say, "God, help my good works to balance out and be bigger than my bad works." That's not the prayer. The only hope we have for all that we owe God is, "Forgive us our debts." Forgiveness always costs something. If you were a master and someone owed you 10,000 bags of gold, that's 10,000 bags of gold that you had invested somewhere in some person that you're not getting back. That costs quite a bit. For this master to be that generous is unheard of. And that's why we have a God who is generous in a way that is unheard of in our day and age. We have a God that's so different than the world around us, that just wants to get back at everybody, that wants to get even. God says the only way to get even with Him is say, "Lord, please forgive it all. Wipe it all clean. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to see if You will just forgive it." Instead of negotiating some kind of debt repayment plan or resettlement, none of that will work. The only hope we have is that God is benevolent. And it's helpful to think about this in terms of actual debts, because I think money is something we can always all relate to. What does it mean to forgive an actual financial debt and to ask if we are the kind of people who do this? If someone actually owes you money, if someone has, you gave someone some money to do something with and they were irresponsible with it. They used it to do irresponsible things. Are you the kind of person that will say, you know what? I forgive you. I'm going to forgive that debt. I could pester you and try to get it back for a long time, but let's wipe it clean so we can have a fresh start. Our debts to God, even though they're metaphorical, are no less real and no less consequential. They're as real as the money that we have in our bank account. And so that is our situation. We need God to forgive us. There's no other way we can be right with our Creator. God forgives us at a great cost to Himself. We know the cost. Our life costs Jesus' life. He sent His one and only Son, John 3:16, into the world that whoever believes in Him should not perish, should not have their debts wipe them out, but receive eternal life. Jesus Christ came to pay the penalty of our debt. He incurred all that on Himself. So God would forgive us through His payment. Through what we owed to Him, Jesus Christ paid it in full. That's the heart of the gospel that we preach. That's the heart of the gospel that the Bible preaches. Forgiveness isn't the only aspect of good news, but it is a fundamental aspect of good news. And it's something that I hope we never get kind of tired of. I know sometimes we've heard something over and over and over again, and we say, oh, yeah, I'm forgiven. Yeah, I'm forgiven. Okay. Move on to the next thing. We'd never move on beyond this because this is something we always come back to. This is what we do when we imagine Jesus hanging on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If you think that we have an incurred debt to God, just think of this. The human race killed His Son for no good reason. We lied. We swindled. We figured out a way to kill Him because He was saying things we didn't like that stepped on our toes. The human race crucified the Son of God. That in and of itself is an enormous, horrendous sin that we need forgiveness for. So we have debts that we owe God. We have a cost of forgiveness that God has shown us through Jesus Christ. That cost shows us that our sins are weighty. God doesn't say, well, you know, everyone messes up, so let's just lower the bar and not deal with sin significantly. No, the bar was never lowered. All the sin, all the wrath that we deserve was put on Christ. And if you picture the cross, if you meditate on the cross of Christ, that bar is high. And all to Him that we owe for that great and amazing gift. Forgiveness is the kind of thing where we can talk about, but it never really hits home to the heart unless we experience it. And most often we experience the forgiveness of God because we've experienced almost in a sacramental way the forgiveness of other people that point us to the forgiveness of God. You know, I believe that when we preach the gospel to say, if you have sin, if you are dragging your guilt around, if you are feeling burdened and weighed down by some things that you've done, you just can't get rid of them. They're like this thing you drag around all your life. Jesus offers you, I'm going to pick that up and I'm going to throw that away. I'm going to relieve you of your burden. You don't have to think about this, experience this. You're forgiven and you're free. I mean, that is an amazing spiritual change. That's what starts working the miracle of regenerating our heart when we hear that message. But some people hear it as an abstract thing, and then experience a whole lot of unforgiveness around them, even sometimes in the church. I've had to apologize many times in my life and seek other people's forgiveness. Perhaps my wife and I are kind of in a bit of a conflict, and I kind of snap and I say some things that are really sharp, and I stop and I think about it and I feel horribly guilty. I'm like, that's not who I want to be. And I'll say, that was wrong what I said. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And when she says, yes, I forgive you, doesn't that, it just lifts something off of our soul. Like, I have a fresh start. I'm not going to be reminded of this tomorrow and the next day and the next day about how I messed up in that moment. And that's a small thing. It's a small thing in compared to God's huge taking the whole burden of our sins off our back. And so we are forgiven by God in enormous ways, and therefore we are called to forgive other people in the daily small ways that other people harm us. Last time I talked about forgiveness, well, maybe it was a few times ago, I told a brief story about two brothers in the Midwest who owned a hardware store. John Claypool, it's a book called The Preaching Event, tells a true story about these two store owners in the Midwest. They were identical twins. Neither one of them had gotten married. They, into their adulthood, were not only twins, but almost best friends. And so they decided to continue the family business that their father had and continue the store as partners. And one day a customer came in to make a small purchase, and the brother who waited on him and put a dollar bill on the top of the cash register and then walked the customer out the store. And then when he walked back in, the dollar was missing. And he said to his brother, what did you do with this dollar? And his brother said, what dollar? And he's like, well, don't play cute with me. There was a dollar bill right here. And he's like, no, there wasn't a dollar bill right there. And that $1 sowed the seeds of discord. And they kept talking about it, and they kept arguing about it. Like 3 days later, I still can't believe that you swipe that dollar and won't admit it. What do you mean? I didn't take anything. Year after year after year, there was unforgiveness that just rooted itself between these two brothers to the point where they needed to separate and part ways. There were other things that came up, but once you have the seed of unforgiveness, then the new things that come in, like a disagreement over the business or something like that, this bitterness takes hold and it keeps preventing you from even hearing the other person. You just have this bad attitude towards another person, and pretty soon you find yourselves in irreconcilable difference and heading off in different directions. The author who recounted this story then said that there was a different way that this ended. 30 years after this incident, a customer came in to the store and he put a dollar down on the counter and said, years ago, I was in the store and I saw a dollar sitting there and I took it. And I feel guilty about it, so I'm returning it today. Of course, their eyes were open to how ridiculous this argument had been. Now, you might say, that was a little thing. That doesn't matter. What about the people that really hurt me? A dollar, yeah, that's ridiculous and immature, and people might do that. But I've had some people really hand me a horrific bill of goods. I've had people hurt me in ways that I continue to live with today. You can forgive a dollar, especially if it was a misunderstanding, but how do you forgive the big things? How do you forgive people that injured you seriously? Desmond Tutu was the bishop of South Africa in the Reformed Church, who headed up the Forgiveness and Reconciliation Project in the aftermath of the apartheid. And while today's culture says there's no future if you have forgiveness, because we just got to keep battling it out, we got to keep one-upping each other and showing how our enemies are really rotten people and we're better than them, this bishop said the opposite. For the country of South Africa, there will be no future unless we exercise forgiveness. And he undertook a project that was insanely hard and difficult. This was years and years of blacks and whites at each other's throats. Literally, testimonies were brought out and people admitted to murdering family members. Mothers who had sons that were killed, and no one ever admitted to it. 20 years later, we're hearing testimonies, "I'm the one that killed your son. He was robbing some vegetable patches in the back and I shot him." There's no good black people, scoundrels. One less one was good, they thought back then. You see, this forgiveness project required that the truth be brought out. It required that people's feelings be tended to and expressed. It required that we hear and recognize what's actually true, and then calls us to let go of the hatred and forgive, because that is a step in the future that is hopeful. That is a way that that country could experience healing. That's the only way that blacks and whites could live next to each other, as if this was admitted and this was dealt with. There's no future without forgiveness. Do you believe that? You think that you and a person sitting a few rows behind you or a few rows ahead of you in the pew, that you can just keep having some unresolved conflicts and bitterness and it'll just kind of go away by itself? If you think that, you're quite naive. It will always rear its ugly head over and over and over again. It will always catch up with us. There is no future without forgiveness. The great Christian writer George Herbert said that he that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass, and he would never reach heaven, for everyone needs to be forgiven. If you can't forgive others, you break the bridge over which you yourself need to pass in order to reach heaven. Our forgiveness begins as a response to our being forgiven. It's not so much an act of generosity towards our fellow offending human beings as an act of gratitude towards our forgiving God. It's nothing like the superficial, "I'm okay, you're okay." In forgiving us and asking us to forgive others, God is not saying, there, your sin is not really such a big deal after all." So many of our human gatherings are superficial because we lack the means to forgive one another when genuine wrong is done. Now, forgiveness, I want to close by saying, forgiveness is not something you can say, "Well, you've hurt me, I'm going to forgive you by about 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon." Like, that's just not the way it works, right? Forgiveness is a process. It's an endeavor. And entering this process means that you lose a little bit of control. Because if someone owes you something, you can kind of hold it over them. But if you forgive them, you lose that ability. You really turn it over to Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, I'm placing this person in your hands. I don't know if they're really sorry even, but I need to let this go. I need to commit them to you. I've tried to reconcile. I've done what I think I need to do. Now, Lord, would you work in their life?" Maybe we'll have forgiveness in the future, but I want to be committed to the process. I want to see forgiveness as the direction that my life is pointing with this person. You see, it's not something that you can just force, and it's not something you can put an easy timetable. We're going to have a forgiveness meeting, and we're going to adjourn in an hour. It doesn't work that way. But you do need to be committed to the process. You need to say, I'm working on forgiving this person. I'm still wrestling with this. I'm still talking. I'm still praying, but I'm committed to doing this. And I don't know how long it'll take. All I know is that you need to engage in that. God calls you to. God carried out the process to see your sins forgiven, and he calls you to that process of forgiving others when they harm you. You might think that you get to hold that debt over someone else's head, but when you're doing that, it's depleting you as well. You see, there's bitterness that you hold on to. There's a resentment that you cling to, and it only hurts you in the end. It prevents you from seeing things on all sides of the equation. It prevents you from being wise in situations. Forgiveness, you need to forgive because God forgave you. You need to forgive for your own sake, because then you'll see clearly, then there will be a road, a map ahead, a path ahead that is free from this, that is a lighter step. I encourage us to make this prayer our own. Lord, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. If there's anybody that you need to forgive, commit to that process. Commit to making it start. Start that journey. If there's someone that you need to talk to, I really encourage you, talk to an elder of the church. He will pray with you. He will say, Lord, help this person on this path of forgiveness. We won't be heavy-handed. This is a good thing. It's an evident that God's Spirit is working in you. It's evident that the gospel of forgiveness is planted in your heart, and you're starting to bear fruit of that by saying, I want to be like Christ in this way. And see that we have a future, because the past is not something we have to carry with us on the road ahead. We can be forgiven through Christ. We can forgive others through Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is such a central piece of the gospel that we've heard so many times. We thank you that when we throw ourselves to your mercy, our Lord taught us that you will forgive us. You'll lift the load. You will unclench the burdens that we bear. You'll put them on Christ, and you'll give us a future. I pray, Lord, tonight for anyone that is really carrying a heavy load. Someone has thought about experience, but they haven't. They've thought about forgiveness, but they haven't experienced it yet. Give them a taste of it tonight. Give them a taste of it this coming week, as perhaps some apologies will be spoken and some forgivenesses would be granted. We pray, Lord, that you would heal anything that needs to be healed among us. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.